Welcome to Life Saving Ministries. I'm Minister Linda, and I want to say Happy Mother's Day to you all today. I come to teach on God's love, His unconditional love, mercy, and grace, which we must embrace. God's agape unconditional love is found in His grace, which is His unconditional love, His unlimited forgiveness, and His forbearing, long-suffering compassion. We were the one earthly reason He died for us, because He loved us so. I've got an acronym for you for the word love. Loving obedience is victorious and eternal. The love of God. John 15:13 says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Christ sacrificed, He died that we might live. Faith makes all things possible, hope makes all things work, and love makes all things beautiful. And I just pray today that you will have a beautiful, joyous Mother's Day. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Micah 6:8. The spiritual love of Christ, Christ's love for men, is unchangeable. John 13:1 says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved His own, which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. His love is divine. John 15:9 says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Christ's love is self-sacrificing. John 15:13 says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. His love is inseparable. Romans 8:35 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? His life is constraining. 2 Corinthians 5:14 says, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. His love is sacrificial. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ who liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Ephesians 5:2. His love is manifested by His death. 1 John 3:16 says, hereby perceive we of God, because He laid down for us His life, and we ought to lay down ours for the brethren. We have to come to go through, to get to. God will never take us to something that He won't take us through. This is how we build faith. That is God's faith builder. 1 Peter 5:10 says that once you have suffered a while, you will be perfected, established, strengthened, and settled. It is through suffering that we learn to forbear, long-suffering, looking past the struggle unto the rewards of Christ. It is tests, trials, and tribulations of life that birth the transformation. It is better not to make a vow than to make a vow and break it. We are called to be covenant makers, covenant keepers, and covenant reapers. Numbers 30:2 says, if a man vow a vow unto the Lord, or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth. Deuteronomy 23:21 says, when thou shalt vow a vow unto the Lord thy God, thou shalt not slack to pay it. For the Lord thy God will surely require it of thee, and it would be sin in thee. Ecclesiastes 5:4 says, when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. For He hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Love is a covenant relationship. We must remember that. I want to tell you of some special distinctions of women in the life of Christ. Women were the last at the cross, Mark 15:47. They were first at the tomb, John 20, verse 1. They were first to proclaim the resurrection, Matthew 28, 8. They were the first preacher to the Jews, Luke 2, 37, 38. They attended the first prayer meeting in Acts 1, 14. They were the first to greet Christian missionaries, Paul and Silas, in Europe, Acts 16, 13. They were the first European convert, Acts 16, 14. In order for there to be fellowship and relationship with God and His people, there must be love, hope, faith, trust, and belief in God, His people, and His living Word. We must be saved, for without the love of God in our hearts, we cannot love God and His creation, for without love, we are nothing, and we are incapable of loving unconditionally. The Word of God says, without the love of the brethren in our hearts, we have not the love of God. We must operate in God's priority of love, which is Jesus first, others second, and yourself last. How is love developed? The power of genuine love is a reward of being in fellowship with God's Holy Spirit and successfully passing the test that He allows for our spiritual growth. When a person becomes a believer by faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit indwells his spirit. Each believer can then ask his Heavenly Father to fill his soul with the Holy Spirit based on the promise of Luke 11:13. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? The Holy Spirit then takes believers through times of testing. As believers respond with rejoicing and gratefulness, a powerful spirit of love will come upon them. This sequence is illustrated throughout the New Testament, beginning with the life of Jesus. The Holy Spirit filled Jesus in Luke 4:1 and led him into the wilderness for testing. Christ returned not in the fullness of the Spirit, but in the power of the Spirit. Luke 4:1-14. You need to read that. Love is seeing in others what Christ saw in them when he created them. One of the world's worst tragedies is that we allow our hearts to shrink until there is no room in them for little beside ourselves. Is there room in the end of your heart? That's the question for today. Love is enjoying the fellowship of one another and showing it by laying aside your personal rights. Love is charity. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for this is the day the Lord hath made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, give thanks today. Celebrate life today, the life in Christ that lives in you, for you were fearfully and wonderfully made. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Psalms 139:14 says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Thank God today, for he is a searcher and a discerner of the hearts. He is a God of omnipotence, all-powerful, omniscience, all-knowing, omnipresent, ever-present. He's an all-knowing, all-seeing, ever-present God, powerful in all his ways. We have lots to be thankful for. He reads our hearts and discerns our motions and intents. All of our ways are known unto him. He knows our limitations. Even when we were in sin, he loved us still. He came to set a pattern for us to live by. It's all about love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16. John 15:13 says, no greater love hath man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call ye not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. Celebrate life, your life in Christ. He died so we might live again, giving us life abundantly. When you're a child of the King, you're worth everything. The day of your new birth was the greatest day on earth. It was a day that God gave you great value and worth. John 10:10 says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. More abundantly means to have superabundance of a thing. Abundant life refers to life in its abounding fullness of joy and strength for mind, body, and soul. God gives us the gifts of spiritual abundance. He gives us abundant joys. Psalm 36:8 says, they shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasure. That was abundant joys. He gives you abundant life in John 10:10. He said, the thief cometh not for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. He gives you abundant grace in 2 Corinthians 9:8. He says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. He gives you abundant power. Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto him that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. He gives us abundant supplies. Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Jesus Christ. He gives us abundant entrance. 2 Peter 1:11 says, for so entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are to embrace God's grace, which is his agape, unconditional love, his unlimited forgiveness, and his long-suffering, forbearing compassion. He gives abundant power. Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask, think, according to the power that worketh in us. He gives us all the abundance that I read to you just a moment ago. The most important being abundant entrance, which we are looking forward to. Plenty is promised. In Deuteronomy 39, he says, and the Lord thy God make thee plenteous in every work of thine hand, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy land, for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good, as he rejoices over thy fathers. It's time to bless God. Psalm 134 gives us an exhortation to bless God. Psalm 134:1 says, behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. And verse 2 says, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Verse 3 says, the Lord that made heaven and earth, bless thee out of Zion. Glorify God, he is rich in blessings unto us. The blessings of God rest upon his people. Matthew 6:3 commands us to seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. Seek God. Luke 10:9-10 says, and I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Verse 10 says, for every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knock it shall be opened. These are all gifts from God. God sent his pattern of love, life, and light before us through the life and his anointed, living, resurrected, only begotten Son, who gave his life for us that we might be saved unto eternal life with him. His precious blood atoning, he shed his blood for you on Calvary. It was our sins and his love for us that took him to the cross. Christ set a pattern of love, life, and light, of mercy and grace. I urge you this week to read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which is the love chapter, and the book of John prior to Mother's Day, and also Proverbs 31, which is the virtuous woman. You will be enlightened, uplifted, and you will see a pattern for your life in those scriptures. We are called to be love transmitters, transmitting the wholehearted love of God unto Him and His creation. We are called to be grace dispensers, dispensing grace, God's unconditional love, unlimited forgiveness and forbearing, long-suffering, compassion. We are called to be peacekeepers and peacemakers, realizing that was the reason that God backed everything up at the cross. We're called to be water carriers. Everywhere we go, others should be able to draw from our well of salvation as we speak the word in season and out of season. Our walk should be like a walking epistle read by all men. Our motto should be others, Lord, yes, others. Let this my motto be. Help me to live for others that I may live like thee. Only by staying in the word will you remain true to the Lord. That is true freedom, lest you be held as a hostage in the bondage of sin. We are purified only through God's love and purity, which He instills in us through His imputation of His righteousness. Everything in Christ has a core, a center, a heart, from which everything emits the light, love, and light of Christ. Everything begins with seed sowing, even down to the Immaculate Conception, which was a miracle-working miracle from a miracle-making God. A mother is the womb, the incubator that births life, that multiplies in like kind, the same like kind that we are to multiply in sowing seeds of Christ, that lost souls might be brought to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, where they will be born into the kingdom to multiply the kingdom in like kind. Just as a man and woman must come into alliance, into oneness, so it is that the new Christian, through the new birth, being born again, must come into oneness, which is alliance with Christ, into reliance, trusting Christ wholeheartedly, and compliance into obedience. The day of your birth, your new birth, is the greatest day on earth, because that is the day that God gave you great value and worth. When you are in Christ, the Word of God says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands. I and my Father are one." God says, "You are the apple of my eye. I hear your humble cry. My tender mercies and loving kindness I will shower down on you. You have a treasure of my excellence buried down deep within. This is true. You need to go on a treasure hunt of life, digging into your inner confines, the confines of your heart, mind, body, spirit, and soul. Healing will come. You will be made whole. I desire to grow you and prosper you because you are my precious gem. I want not anyone to perish but have everlasting life. You are the apple of my eye. I am your great provider, great healer, great restorer, the great I am. You are a part of my divine master plan." The power of virtue is illustrated in Proverbs 31:10-31. I just want to let you ladies and the men who are listening today to know the type of power that the Holy Spirit produces when we bear fruit. I'm going to start with the first verse and read it, and I want you to read the rest on your own. "The heart of her husband does safely trust her." These are the powers that are instilled. The power of protection, provision, endurance, diligent work, creative procurement, fulfilling all responsibilities, the power of making wise investments, good health and vigor, the power of guarding valuable assets, skillful productivity, love and generosity, preparation, personal elegance, the power of a good name, the power of making wealth, the power of contentment and true security, the power of wise counsel, resourcefulness, leadership, affirmation, inner beauty, and the power of official honors. God is with you, and He has instilled power in you. He gives you all that it takes to complete all of the divine tasks that He has assigned unto you. I have a resolution for women that I received from a women's retreat that I want to read with you. I want to see if you will fall into agreement. A resolution for women. I do solemnly resolve before God to embrace my current season of life and live with the spirit of contentment. I will champion God's model for womanhood and teach it to my children. I will celebrate my God-given uniqueness and the distinctions He has placed in others. I will live as a woman answerable to God and faithfully committed to His word. I will seek to devote the best of myself to the primary roles God has entrusted to me. I will be quick to listen, slow to speak, and esteem others more highly than myself. I will forgive those who have wronged me and reconcile with those I have wronged. I will tolerate evil influences in myself or my home, but will embrace a life of purity. I will pursue justice, love, mercy, and extend compassion toward others. I will be faithful to my husband and honor him in my conduct and in my conversation, and will aspire to be a suitable partner to help him reach his God-given potential. I will teach my children to love God, respect authority, and live responsibly. I will cultivate a peaceful home where God's presence is sensed. I will make today's decisions with tomorrow's impact in mind and consider my current choices in light of future generations. I will courageously work with the strength of God, who provided to fulfill this resolution for the rest of my life and for His glory. As we close out this special Mother's Day program for Mother's Day, let's listen to Arthur Ward sing "The Anchor Holds." God bless each one of you.
In my hands.